Heavenly Father, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that as we turn to them, we find them to be the living word. Lord, you speak to us as we read through them as individuals, and you speak to us as we read through as a church. It's our prayer that your Holy Spirit will take these words today and help us to know and love you more, for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I said earlier, there's been an emphasis on the word hallelujah. And the reason is that when Nathan gave me this particular psalm, Psalm 118, I thought this would be fairly straightforward. But only to find out that it's not straightforward at all. Psalm 118 is made up of what's called the full hallel, the full hallelujah, which is from Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. It's made up of six psalms in one called the full hallel, the full hallelujah. So I had to do a bit more work on this one, and I sort of got a bit carried away. Forgive me if I sort of drift a bit here today. It's interesting, isn't it? Last year when we did the series on psalms, I remember speaking to you on Psalm 42, which was, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. And you know what, only a week or so ago, someone, might have been someone from this congregation, come up to me and said, how are the goats going with your gazanias? Now, it wasn't about goats, it was about deer, but at least she remembered, you know, my gazanias, and there was a connection there somewhere. And it was about, if you remember right, I was saying how that the deer in their need, in their thirst, sought after water, and how in our need, we need to be thirsty for God. Well, I hope that what we have to say here sticks as much in the future as well. But we're going to be thinking about Psalm 118 today. When we come to reading the Psalms, we do it in different ways, don't we? Sometimes we go to the Psalms just for comfort, and that's excellent. I've done it, and I'm sure you have as well. We go to the Psalms to find things which are helpful for us in all kinds of measures. Quite often when we're sad, or we're looking at bereavement, or we need maybe something to start our prayer time off. That's always very good, to go to a psalm as a way in which engaging with God. Other times we use psalms to start our worship service. And other times they come like a little nuggets, little gold nuggets to sort of jump out at you. And as I was reading through Psalm 118, I found a couple of these as I was reading through today. I thought, well, this is great. One was the one we sung to start with today. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad in it. Okay? So I thought, well, I reached for my computer straight away and typed out that verse and put it on a sheet. That's got to go on my wall to remind me that every day is a day that God has made, and I should be rejoicing in every day that I face. So Psalms do that. There's some wonderful little nuggets in there, and certainly there are others as well. That opening verse of Psalm 118 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." I mean, isn't that an amazing thing to have to remind us each day? The love of God endures forever. But when we come to reading the Psalms, sometimes we sort of feel, well, it's the Old Testament, and this is the New Testament, and in modern day thinking, things which are old, well, they're old, they're musty, they're the past, and the new must mean something new. This particular psalm, along with others, and over the last few weeks, Brett and Laurie and Lindsay have been trying to remind us that these are songs, you know, these are hymns of the Jewish church, where they expressed to God their praise, their hallelujahs, for what God has done and what he will do and what his promises are. Philip Yancey wrote a very helpful book, which was called The Bible That Jesus Read. We sometimes forget that people in the New Testament, and certainly in the Old Testament, didn't have the New Testament. All they had was the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, what Jesus read as he was growing up as a child was what we know is basically the Old Testament. He mentions it himself later on, that he didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill the law. And the law was made up of the first five books of Moses. They had the prophets, and of course their hymns were the Psalms. So it's not unusual for us to think about, well, the people in the Old Testament, you know, they're back there, but they were a part of what we are now experiencing in the new. Philip Yancey suggested that maybe when we read the Psalms, we should think about it as if we're reading over somebody's shoulder, looking at what they're writing down. I tried this out, actually. I got myself a diary, and I thought, I'll have a go at this and see whether I can do what David does. And I started to try and write to God, because that's what it's all about. He's writing to God. Sometimes he's writing about how his heart is, other times his victories, other times his praise. Now, other times he's just got something he wants to find out from God. And the amazing thing is, like Psalm 118, when we read it through, we can identify with a good bit of it. Isn't it amazing? The Holy Spirit has given us these Psalms because they are for us. They are good for us. Now, the whole of the Old Testament is just like that. It's not there because someone decided to stitch together all those Psalms and call them the Psalms of the Old Testament. And what's made up of the Old Testament has got the Holy Spirit's imprimatur on it. The Holy Spirit wanted all those 39 books of the Old Testament to be there for us. So each one of those parts of the Old Testament are important for us to read. Psalm 118 is not any exception. So we should think about that. When we read the Psalms, it's not some kind of theological treatise, but it's the expression of a man in his journey with God, has his ups and downs, has his losses and victories, but has that faith that leads him on to know that God is always with him and that there is a future, an eternal future. David himself says in Psalm 13, "And I will be in the house of the Lord forever." In a way, I felt that in reading that opening verses of Psalm 118, "Give thanks to the Lord for he is good, that his love endures forever," it's almost like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, whoever believes in him will not perish, but have life forever." Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Well, when I tried to work my way through this book of the Psalm 118, I found that I had to think a bit more hard about how the Jewish people are dealt with it themselves. Because they sang it through at Passover. You know what Passover is, don't you? It's that time of the year at Easter time when the Jewish people gather together to think about how God saved them as they left Egypt. They had to have this perfect lamb. They had these herbs, unleavened bread. They had to put the blood on the doorposts. And when the angel of death saw this blood, it passed over. So it was called the Passover. And they were asked at the Passover to remember that and to teach it to their children. Well, as they start the Passover meal off, one of the first things they do is have the youngest child, youngest boy in the family, ask some Dorothy Dix questions. Questions like, "Why are we having unleavened bread only today, Dad, when normally we have unleavened bread and ordinary bread?" And he would reply, "The reason is this, that on the day of Passover," and so on. And he would ask similar questions about the opening of the sea and the entry into the promised land, how God had saved and led this people. And the father would explain the gracious work of God, who through the ages has loved them, has cared for them. Following on from that, they would have sung the first two psalms of the Hallel, which is Psalm 113 and Psalm 114. If you've got your Bibles open, you might have a quick look at that. Psalm 113 gives God his right place. And as the Jews were singing this, they were singing this with great joy, and they were recognizing that God was the rightful God, the true God. Praise, there's that hallelujah. "Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and on the earth? So they recognize as they start to sing at the Passover the wonder of God, his sovereign power and majesty. And then they move on to sing through Psalm 114, where they relate the story of their deliverance from Egypt. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a foreign tongue, Judah became God's sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, the Jordan turned back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. Why was it, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back? You mountains, you that skip like rams, you hills like lambs, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob, who turned the rock into a pool, hard rock into the springs of water. Psalm 118 was part of a wider picture. At the end of that, they started their meal. At the Passover, they started to have their meal following that. And at the end of the meal, the cup was passed around again. And this time, they sang the last four psalms. Psalm 114, 15, 16, and 17, and 18. The last four, anyway. And they sung those through. But, you know, on the day of Passover, when Jesus met with his disciples in that upper room, when they met together for the last time, they didn't know that, but Jesus did. At this point in the supper, the Bible tells us, you read through Matthew and Luke, it tells us that Jesus took the cup after supper. And he said of this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This bread is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, if you like, instituted what we know as the communion or the Lord's Supper. They then sang the last four psalms through, and they then moved to Gethsemane. They then went to Calvary. It's an interesting psalm because in Psalm 118, we can understand that Jesus on many occasions sung this psalm. It's a psalm of David, we believe, because in the book of Ezra and chapter 3 and verse 10, we read there that when they laid the foundation of the temple of those who came back from Babylon to rebuild this temple destroyed by the Babylonians, Ezra tells us they sung a song that David told them to sing for this occasion. And that song began, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Psalm 118 was the psalm commanded by David almost 1,000 years before to sing on this occasion. It has its implications when you start to see what the psalm contains. And you realise that as Jesus sung it for the last time, it had a certain and very positive implication for him. I wonder how he felt when he got to verse 17, when it says there, "I will not die but live. I will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death." Psalm 118 was obviously about David. It was about the time when he was betrayed, when he fled as a person who was being sought to kill. He felt he would die. If you read through Psalm 118, you find out he talks about being surrounded on every side. They swarmed around me like bees. But he goes on to talk about how he will not die, but he will live. He knows that God is leading him to victory, that God is still in control. And he goes on to say, "I give you thanks," verse 21, "for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Verse 22, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 22 has great significance for Jesus because he himself quotes it. As he neared the end of his ministry, on a couple of occasions he said the same thing. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And even as David was being exalted back to the position of leader and king of his nation, as they sung this psalm through, and the Jews, of course, never accepted Jesus. What does John say? He came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. But even as Jesus sung this on that last night, in that upper room, facing the cross, he could see that the stone the builders rejected had become the capstone or the foundation stone. Now, I don't know whether or not you've had much to do with building, but if you're building a retaining wall, the most important stone is the foundation stone. You get the first stone right and you get the wall straight. And Jesus is portrayed throughout the Old and New Testament as the rock, as the foundation. Paul says in Corinthians these very words, doesn't he, that there's no other foundation you can build on except those laid by the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the foundation stone. And as he sung this part of the Hallel, this hallelujah, I can imagine as he made his way down to Calvary, or down at first to the Garden of Gethsemane, he suddenly realized that his journey was nearing an end. He realized that, yes, he would die, but he would rise again. I will not die but live. Friends, this passage is a passage which does an amazing thing to me. I went into the Old Testament reading through Psalm 118, trying to find out what David had to say. Along the way, I found that what it did was the Holy Spirit was pointing me to the cross. Written maybe 1,000 years before Jesus, these words of David were pointing to Jesus. And more than that, they are pointing us to the fact that the Old Testament and the New Testament are but one story. In the beginning, we find God's creation, man's fall, God's promise, the promised Messiah. We see a rejected Messiah, but a glorious Messiah who becomes the foundation for us, the church. A glorious Messiah that went to the cross willingly for you and me, that we might live, and not just live now and enjoy what it is to be a human with God alongside, but know what it is to have God for us for all eternity. The last verse says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Is Jesus your foundation stone? Is he the one who you place your life on? Do you build your life on? As we think back into the Bible, we realize the Bible more and more is a message, the whole lot of it, about Jesus, about us, about salvation, about hope and forgiveness. Let's pray.